Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freundo, Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language, and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Visible is a wireless carrier that is not invisible. It is pretty clear from the name. Actually, radio waves are invisible. And I can say this with authority as a licensed amateur radio operator. That being said, Visible won't be giving you the power to see light outside the visible spectrum. It's actually way better because having that ability would make getting around very difficult and distracting. What you do get with Visible is unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You get one line of wireless, just $25 a month, which is great in these times of economic uncertainty. That is one line for $25, taxes and fees included. So whatever you're doing at this moment, please stop. Switch immediately. Now, monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Listen. Hello and welcome to NVC, IGN's Nintendo podcast. I'm your host, Casey DeFreitas, and I'm here today with Per Schneider.
Hi, Kissel.
Tom Marks.
Hello.
And Miranda Sanchez.
I'm back again.
You know why? Because there's more Pokemon stuff. There's a huge Pokemon Direct.
They don't stop Pokemoning.
No. Yes, they have when there's not Pokemon.
You're a regular now.
But I also want to be on, especially when there's Pokemon.
We'll have you on for not Pokemon stuff. Animal Crossing, Rune Factory.
I was going to curse, but I'm not going to do that.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Man.
You can fill in the word that would have come before that.
Gears mode, so if you know Gears of War,
man, yeah,
then
of course.
You know what I would have said.
Well, Gears of War comes on a Nintendo platform.
You know, stranger things have happened, so.
Your pictures you posted on Twitter of holding the Pikachu and the Gears of War freaking chainsaw gun are hilarious.
Yeah, thank
but
you.
That's the dichotomy that's, of the Miranda that we
that's
know.
Me. Yeah. Anyway.
Man.
Pokemon!
Yeah, so that Pokemon Direct was massive and full of new details.
Massive, you say?
I know. I mean, oh, yeah, well, jokes. No, really, it's full of puns. And if you guys, we should have an IGN Now all about the details. So for this segment on NVC, I want to focus on our opinions about those details. Mm-hmm. Because you can get all the details you need from our wiki on IGN.com.
I like that there's a Pokemon named Zach Ryan. That was nice of them to do that right off the bat.
Yeah, so first of all, we finally got to see the legendary Pokemon. And these are as we predicted, there are two wolves, and one has a shield, and one has a sword. And the sword doggo is Zacian.
Oh, I see. I thought it was Zacharine. Okay.
Yeah. No, close. Pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they say its shining blade can cut through anything. And there's Zamazenta, the shield wolf. Yes?
So is the... this is important, Miranda. Is the sword made out of Pokemon? Or is it like it just found a sword?
It holds the sword. Like you can see it moving it around in its mouth. So it's not.
But are there multiple Pokemon like that and they all come with a sword?
What do you mean?
Or is this like a unique Pokemon?
It's a legendary.
Okay, so.
It's just that one.
So it's not a type that is born with a sword. I just need to know for canon. I
mean, yeah, but if you bred one, I bet it would have a sword when
see,
it came
that's
out of
what
the
I'm
shell.
Afraid of.
You never
of.
Know. Like, it could have been born with it on its back and it just, like, fell off one day and now it carries it around.
Not okay with
you
it.
Don't know. No. You never know with Pokemon. Like a Garbodor.
Man, now I'm confused.
Or Bodor, excuse
is it?
Me.
Well,
who knows?
I was just thinking, like, Grookey and Farfetch, like, they're sticks. They're not born with those sticks.
No, they pick up those sticks.
Yeah,
it's just special.
So,
but that's different. This sword is like matched to the Pokemon.
It is a fancy sword.
Yeah. Maybe he came across it one day. Or maybe it was made for him by another legendary.
All right. Well, that's all the questions I have.
Who knows?
Thanks.
Yeah.
Good night.
Maybe we'll see him sheathe the sword at some point.
I feel like that's got to be important somehow. Like how, like their origins, I feel, are some, almost more curious than other legendaries we've had in the past. Just because they are like sword and shields, like what?
Yeah.
I think Tom's going to leave.
No.
No.
No, he's super excited about
he was
it this
in
morning.
Our,
I was just like thinking about something really dark and I realized that like...
What were you thinking?
Well, you were like, I hope someone maybe we'll see it sheath it. And I was like, I just hope he stabs someone. Okay. I just hope we see that dog murder somebody in this game.
Well, he did try to murder Zamazenta, which used its shield, which is attached to its body.
It's just its face.
Yeah,
but then they seemed like they were buds.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like maybe they're friends.
They were dueling.
I think they were scared at first. They're like, who are you? And they're like, oh, God, I know you. I know
you.
You
know, like, dogs play with each other, right? Yeah. They do the, like, play fighting.
So are they dogs or wolves?
Probably wolves, but dogs.
Yeah. Both?
Yeah.
All wolves are doggos, but not all doggos are wolves.
This is true.
Yeah.
That is a true statement.
I think they're domesticated because they have swords and shields.
Yeah. They know how to use tools. And they're advanced.
They're smarter than other dogs. Yeah.
But clearly those two Pokemon is not what you guys squealed about, right?
Mm. No.
So I saw the
images and I'm like, that one, she's going to love. That one, she's going to love. And then there's Tom.
I like them all.
Yeah.
What do you think about the legendary Pokemon?
They look like Digimon.
They're a little weird.
They do look like Digimon.
I love Digimon. Yep. I don't think you have to choose one or the other. You can love whatever you want to love. That's totally fair.
I agree.
Love both Digimon and Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh. You know, there's room in your heart for all of it. Blue and other cards, whatever. But these look like Digimon. It's really weird.
I really love that that's always like, that is a Pokemon insult to be like, this Pokemon doesn't look like a Pokemon. It looks like a Digimon. Mm-hmm. Even though some Digimon are really like cool looking and great
designs. Oh, yeah, there's plenty of cool ones.
But yeah, it's definitely like, they're a little odd.
I don't like how they first look, especially when they appeared in the video. Like, they look so similar. Mm-hmm. And there are color differences, but I didn't actually realize that until we saw the art.
Mm-hmm.
So
what makes them look like a Digimon?
I think it's with the little frills.
Yeah, it's like kind
too
of...
Too much stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Swords and shields. No, they have like layers. They have like armor-looking layers.
Yeah, I think that's... Armor is especially such a big thing for Digimon, especially as they digivolve. So I think that was just kind of a thing that looked like this could be some like mid-evolution Digimon or something.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of jokes about it too of like the third legendary being like Gurumon from...
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think Metal Gurumon or whatever his name is from Digimon. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. We see it. So, and it's just... they're fine.
If you guys had to pick one, which one would you pick?
Sword.
Sword as well.
Probably I'm leaning more towards a sword too.
Yeah. Attack.
For once, I don't care. I just want to see what the version differences are, which one has a better Pokemon. The legendaries don't matter to me at all.
So yeah, I'm not talking about the version. I'm talking about just the legendary.
If I had to choose one,
sword
I think
one.
I'd get the shield because I feel bad for it.
Yeah, no. So
it's a pity. But
we were tracking pre-orders, and Pokemon Sword is being pre-ordered like twice as much as Pokemon
Always.
Shield.
I mean, like, who wants to be the shield? Like, really? I mean, you know, who picks a Tankroll?
I pick a Tankroll.
We love you because you pick the tank role. Like, who wants to pick the support? Who wants to pick the tank first? Usually not. You want to go DPS.
I run support and like, tank in all of my games.
Yeah. And that's why Well, I mean, we love you for many other reasons, but that's why we pick you first.
I asked my kids which ones I should pre-order, and it was Sword.
Yeah. I mean, it's just cooler, right? Yeah. It's flashy.
For sure.
I'm probably going to go Shield just because I like being contrarian.
I like red.
I might actually get that one.
So, speaking of the colors, so, like, Zacian glows blue and Zamazenta. When I heard Zamazenta, I was like, I'm going to remember how to pronounce it because it sounds like magenta. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you know, like, Zacian is kind of like cyan.
Red.
Yeah, and magenta, magenta, like, you know, they glow those colors. I don't know if that's very inspired, but that's my guess.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
I think you got it.
To me, and it's a good way to remember it. Yeah.
And we also saw a bunch of new Pokemon, which I...
See, now we get to the Mirandamon.
Yeah, so there's Gossifleur, which is a flowering Pokemon, and that evolves into Eldegoss, which gets like a big cotton puff. And Miranda and I were talking about it, that they have seeds in the cotton puff on its head, and people eat the seeds.
Okay, stop. Yes. So... people eat parts of Pokemon?
Yes. So specifically for this,
disgusting.
The seeds are not for reproduction in the official entry so far of what we have on the Pokemon site.
Like, seeds are plant babies.
But they're not in this case. They are meant for nourishment. And specifically, it says in the entry that their seeds help nourish the Galar region, like just make the fertile more, or the soil more fertile for growth.
Who?
And it's not meant for having babies.
Who eats Pokemon?
I mean, people do. That's Slowpoke tails are a delicacy.
Do?
So, Team Rocket like almost drove Slowpokes to extinction because they're just chopping off Slowpoke tails. Farfetch is almost extinct because people eat Farfetch. It carries around its side piece.
Too dark for me. This I'm not going to play these.
They're animals.
M-rated.
They're just Pokemon.
So even if you're not cool with the eating of Pokemon, people drink milk tank milk, right? Like, isn't that just like...
Also not cool with that.
So, okay, wow. So you're a Pokemon vegan? That's what you're saying?
What's milk tank say? Like, what's its call?
Moo.
Just moo?
Probably.
Okay.
I'm going with moo. All right.
I wasn't sure if it said, like, milk tank.
And
I was going to say, if it speaks, nope.
I recently saw the episode with Whitney's milk tank, and I don't think it really said milk tank. I think it just made noises.
So if it's just mill you're drinking, it's fine.
Milk tank.
Yeah,
mill.
That's right. Okay, not milk.
It's milk tank.
Yeah. This is gross, you guys. I don't like this topic.
That's what it is. Like, if you go to the Pokemon Wooloo? Center, they have, like, Miltank branded, like, milk whenever you go to the cafe. Like, it's paired with that. It has, like, the little lamb.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought they were friends, not...
You can be friends with them.
All
right. And benefit from whatever they make.
Did you ask if you could eat Wooloo?
Yeah. Sheep, right?
Yeah. Mutton?
It's Scotland. They eat tripe and haggis and sheep.
Oh,
haggis is sheep stomach. You know they eat
That's
Wooloo.
Right. So when I saw Wooloo, I thought that would be your new obsession for collecting.
I love everything. I love Wooloo
it's
so much.
Wooloo's
so
Wooloo's really good.
So Wooloo's a normal sheep Pokemon, and it's said to be extremely fluffy, and it will roll away from conflict.
It just wants to live in peace.
Yeah.
Dude.
Little braids.
If you go on the Pokemon website too, on the description of it,
Save
it's like
me.
What the description is literally just like Wooloo is a friendly Pokemon that just wants stability, and it's like all it wants in life is to just be chill and fine and live with other people and just be happy.
But who wants that in an RPG where you battle?
Don't underestimate Pokemon trainers.
Will Wooloo turn into what will Wooloo's evolution be like?
I kind of hope it doesn't evolve.
It's just going to be a big ball of fluff.
Yeah.
You got to imagine. If it does, it'll maybe be like a ram sort of
thing.
Yeah. Mutu. And it's going to be all like nasty hair and stinky.
No.
Yeah.
This is what happens when Wooloo don't get the stability in the life they crave.
Jonathan Dornbush he said something so funny, which was like with Sobble, which is like the anxiety Pokemon, and Wooloo, which is just like all about just wants a stable life. It's like this is the most millennial Pokemon generation ever. It's like we're just sad and stressed out and just want everything to be okay.
After like 800 Pokemon, you got to get really creative with them, guys.
Yeah. So, well, there was already a sheep Pokemon, but
yeah.
Mary, poor Mary, but Wooloo.
I've seen some really nice like fan art with them together.
Yeah.
So
well, there's a Gen X Pokemon for me. Am I Gen X or am I a baby boomer? I don't even know. Corviknight?
Yeah.
Corviknight.
Corviknight looks
That's the one that
awesome.
Bites. Right?
No.
That one is Drednaw.
Oh, that's okay. I like that one. I want that one.
You want the snapping turtle
one?
Yeah,
of course.
So Drednaw is a water rock type
that has
a huge jaw and is said to be very vicious, and trainers sometimes release it when they realize they can't handle them.
Why does it say 7'3" Galar Tuxie?
Because Corviknight is a flying steel type raven that is 7'3" tall, 7 feet tall.
2 feet taller than a Charizard.
Yeah. Bigger than Charizard.
Okay, that's, I like that one better.
And it carries that's mine. And it carries around a little cage with people in it, and it's called the Galar Taxi.
No, we're in
okay,
the cage.
What is going yeah, we're on in the cage. With this
it
franchise?
It carries the cage.
So Joe Screbbles in our UK office, I think I told you guys about this earlier. Joe Screbbles in our UK office told me that apparently the Raven is like thought to be the protector of the Tower of London. Like oh, ravens whoa. Are supposed to be the Tower of London protector. And there's this saying that if the ravens that live in the Tower of London disappeared one day, then it's like something really dramatic. Like Britain would like the crown would fall and Britain with it or something like that. Whoa. So I think that there's something related yeah. with this, that it's a raven that is also a knight is very I and hope it, this thing has a super cool evolution.
Yeah. And it's said to be the most powerful Pokemon in the skies in the Galar region. Yeah, which is really cool. So maybe it doesn't. I mean, Skarmory is another flying steel type that doesn't have an evolution.
Right.
But
I this is actually one, unlike Wooloo, where I could see it very much not having an evolution.
Yeah. Same.
Because it is also like giving a service. Like mm-hmm. that's kind of a weird thing to uh-huh. say, but it's yeah. kind of limiting to it, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, this is your job.
Maybe yeah, this is the evolution. Maybe it's a tiny bird that turns into it.
Maybe it does have a tiny bird.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that'd be really cute. What if it's really cute? I hope it is. Sorry, y'all. I mean, not all Pokemon are just like very Corvi, cute, baby. But they're all cute.
Yeah.
Except for some. Except for the trash.
Oh, you guys are killing me.
The actual trash.
When do we get to the battling okay. and the finding Pokemon?
So, I think the biggest detail that came out of this Direct, which isn't the giant Pokemon, but now there are no more random encounters.
Yeah.
And that was something that we assumed would be a part of it based on the reveal trailer, because mm-hmm. they didn't show any Pokemon in the overworld. They just showed someone going in the grass and then a battle started.
Like exclamation yes. mark, right?
Exactly. But it was shown in this trailer and explained that you can, while going in grass and in caves, you will see an exclamation point and you can choose to approach the exclamation point to then be thrown into a battle with a random Pokemon. Mm-hmm. But it's not random in the sense of normal RPG tropes. Like, it's not like Octopath Traveler where you're just
right.
walking around and
right.
sneaks suddenly. Up on you.
So and it's kind of like they're trying to get the best of both worlds, yes. right? Like that randomness factor and the surprise as to what you encounter mm-hmm. rather than seeing everything on the map. Yes. But they have both.
They do have both. There are also roaming Pokemon, and some of the scenes that they showed were amazing. I mean,
so cool.
I keep calling back the Tyranitar walking through a sandstorm, and then you see a Gyarados in a lake, and it just is so close to what I wanted to see. It just looks so much more natural than it yeah. did in Let's Go.
Yeah, and I know some people were pretty down on Let's Go, understandably mm-hmm. so. I understand, like, people want these mainline games. But the feature everyone pointed out, it's like, please put Pokemon in the overworld. Like, that's mm-hmm. the one thing they want. Mm-hmm. It's like, let us battle them, but let us choose to approach them. Well, and so
because the overworlds yeah. in the older Pokemon games kind of feel empty, right?
Yeah.
And like the moments you have in a game like Breath of the Wild where you can see an enemy on a hill and you're like, I want to go there. You couldn't find those in Pokemon games before. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really cool.
It's a great move.
But now you will especially be able to do that because there's a new area called the Wild Area, mm-hmm. which has a dynamic camera. And of course, only like Nintendo and Pokemon can make us excited for being able to control a camera in 2019, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm excited.
I'm so excited. That was the first thing I read, and I was like, oh my God, I am so excited for this game. It's like, it's what I've wanted. I've wanted Pokemon in the overworld, being able to explore freely. And this is still somewhat limited because, as I said, it's called the Wild Area, which is just one area, but it looks huge.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So we kind of like plotted out where we think it is on the map. So we sat down and like compared all of the shots they showed of Pokemon in the overworld, and especially like where it seemed like you're kind of roaming more. And we think we have a very solid spot for that. And it will probably be in the wiki by the time you listen to this.
Yes.
Nice. So search for Pokemon Sword and
Pokemon Sword and Shield, IGN.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then we'll probably have that in.
Find Miranda's work.
This feels almost like I'm really excited for this area. I think it looks very, very cool. It does feel a little bit like a half step by Nintendo rather than a full commitment to this idea, because outside of this wild area, it seems to just be normal routes as far as we can tell, more linear. And you still have the things like Pokemon in the grass walking around that you can actually see, but this isn't them just going Breath of the Wild, Pokemon, everything is open world, walk around the entire map and go into cities. It's not like that. It's not becoming Xenoblade levels of walking around an open world. but I'm excited they're doing it. I feel like they were a little nervous of going that full way.
I think they're testing the waters. Yeah. It's so difficult when you have a franchise that's been running for, you know, like Nintendo franchise, 20 years, often sometimes 30, right? It's so difficult to make changes without upsetting a big part of the audience. And I think having confined areas like that and testing the waters is a really smart idea.
Yep, and I could see them also just needing time to develop it, and they release these so quickly that... Mm-hmm. You know, they don't necessarily have a time. So, like, maybe taking it one step at a time will help them get there.
And they've been doing some stuff in their other franchises to bust out of the format. Like, Fire Emblem introduced, you know, dungeon roaming, for example, in Valentia. And it's cool. I like it.
Yeah.
You want them to just redo the whole thing, Breath of the Wild reboot style?
No, I'm optimistic. You guys might remember a while ago when we were talking about like the hopes and fears of what these different games are. One of my concerns was that they would just go back to a normal like gym system, which it seems like they're doing a little bit with this one, not full on, but a little bit with this one. And I would have liked, if they did that, I would have liked them to maybe push a little farther into this wild area idea. But again, we don't know how much time we're going to spend in it. We don't know how much stuff there's going to be to do in it yet. So maybe my fears are unfounded anyway.
Yep.
Yep. I mean, we'll see because it's big and it looks like you can maybe access it early. We're speculating that maybe it could be a multiplayer area because we saw in some of the screenshots in the bottom left corner, there's kind of like a Wi-Fi signal icon. And they show you going to the, so there are also raids in Pokemon Sword and Shield. Yep. So when you're in this wild area, you will see red beams of light specifying where you can start these raids, and you can play with up to three other people to fight these Dynamax Pokemon. And they can be local, they can be online, you can be offline, and then you'll get NPCs to help you. But yeah, these Dynamax Pokemon are just giant Pokemon with Z moves, basically. And they last for three turns.
If you're only listening to this, Miranda just made the happiest face when she heard Dynamax.
I'm so mixed on it. Like, I like it, but also I wish there was a little more to it.
Yeah.
Like, just a little more.
It's just basically like they're in a special form for a limited time.
Yeah, but the special form is also just them big.
Okay.
Like, they're just real big. It's cool.
Big and still.
Yeah, but whenever we get these, like, special things, it's just red. It's not that crazy.
It's cool.
No, but I don't know. Like, I don't know. I just look for something to be really different.
That's better than, like a sheep ball that rolls away in conflict.
That sheep ball can get big, Pear. Watch what you say.
And roll away. Like,
and won't cuddle.
And roll over you.
Don't hit me.
I'm calling it out. Wooloo's going to learn rollout for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it's not bad or anything. It's just like, oh, I mean, I really liked, you know, our cool dances from, you know, Sun and Moon.
Yeah.
Here is just... Here's a big ball.
Yeah. And it does the same kind of thing. So when it becomes a Dynamax Pokemon, its moves turn into a different move depending on what it was. So, for example, we saw one Pokemon, I think it was Grookey, and it had taunt and another normal.
Like growl, I think.
Yeah. So it had a normal type support move and a dark type support move, and both of them turned into Max Guard when it was in Dynamax mode. But it's... They called its Scratch turned into a normal type Dynamax move. And so it kind of like how Z moves worked is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Like that's what it appears to be. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they last for three turns. And you can only use a Pokemon in Dynamax form against other raid Pokemon. But only one person in your party can use a Dynamax Pokemon and in gym battles. So far, that's all that's been revealed.
Yeah. There might be other opportunities for them, but it's very specific because they're big.
Yeah.
It's just kind of funny because we were talking about, it's like, why couldn't you just use this anywhere? It's like, well, do you want your Pikachu to trample a house?
I'm really interested to how the competitive community is.
You have more to eat. You can eat those Pokemon. This? Did you know that?
Because I think it was Wolfie. He was one of the VGC winners, but he just was repeating, please don't make us use these.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. It adds a whole other layer and is interesting. I'm sorry. I keep kicking you guys under the table.
That's okay. The small room.
But, yeah, I don't know. It'd be very interesting, I guess, is to say. You can't really know how it's going to affect the meta until you kind of get into it.
There's so much of that you just kind of have to wait to see how it plays out. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
But I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
So I'm not, it's fine. That's how I feel about that.
Max. Yeah.
It feels like a lot of spectacle right now to me. And I feel like we're not going to, it's one of those things that looked real cool, but sort of thin, as you said, mm-hmm. right? Like, it didn't look bad by any means, but it just was like, okay, cool. And I do hope there's something a little more, too.
I do think raids look really cool.
Yeah, that's I feel
the raids is neat.
It's a gameplay element that drives these raids, and I just love that the franchise is evolving now to adapt some stuff that we've seen in more some of the games as service. Yeah. There. So cool.
And I do love the way they use Dynamax things in the actual stadium gym battles, mm-hmm. where it's this soccer stadium style place that you have these giant Pokemon fighting each other. Mm-hmm. That looks really cool. Yeah. Just from a spectacle standpoint, that is so neat.
So how can you find these raids?
So like I said, when you're in a wild area, you will see red beams of light if off in the distance, mm-hmm. and then you can then approach them. And depending on the area that the point is in and the weather will change which Pokemon it will be.
There you go. That's how it works.
And the weather in the wild area will change every day, which will change the Pokemon
really cool.
that you find.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm super into it. So while we have you, Miranda, I move some of our question block questions to the end of the Pokemon segment. So these will be about Pokemon.
Yay.
All right. So the first question is from Michael Murph Moray. He says, which game are you choosing if choosing one, Sword or Shield?
I am waiting until we see what the differences are.
Same.
Shield.
So I was going to say Sword, but if most of my kids just pick Sword, I'm going to have to go Shield. I don't care that much that I have to have one of the Pokemon, but I think the Sword Pokemon is just more fun.
I almost always go with whichever one is less popular, not because I'm a hipster, but because it makes finding the Pokemon from the other game way easier.
Oh, yeah, that's good point.
Because then everyone has Sword and I have Shield and I can trade much, much easier. Yeah. And everyone wants to
everyone
trade with me.
Everyone
wants
to trade with you. Yeah.
I'm definitely waiting for the exclusives because the legendary Pokemon I usually don't end up using. I mean, I get to the end and I finish the game and then it's done. So the Pokemon that you find in the world before then and may end up putting on your team are more important to me.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Totally agree.
And Raphael Rocha says, if a wizard gave you the power to change anything in Pokemon Sword and Shield, what would you change?
I love the wizard.
I do like wizards. That's hard.
I'd make it M for mature.
No, I would upgrade the graphics engine to be a true 3D game. Like, that would be my big hope for the future, that it is a little bit more open, sprawling, bigger. Like, sense of, like, being a small cog in a big world. I love that in games like Breath of the Wild or Assassin's Creed and all of that. I would love that change. The wizard can do that, but it's also very difficult to make a game like that. And we haven't seen that done very well in many RPGs, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We kind of saw it in Ni No Kuni a little bit.
Yeah, Ni No Kuni did it well. Obviously, Xenoblade. You know.
Yeah.
I'm going to pretend we all get our own wizard and that these changes are all going into effect, except for yours, Tom. What? But...
we were talking about eating Pokemon, so might
that's
as well share that
gonna
in game.
Change all
that's
Pokemon to edible.
That's not all right, anyway. Okay. You're not actually eating.
What are you changing?
Pokemon.
Add dragons.
There's already dragons.
Okay.
I have a whole type.
I do actually, you know what? I want your change.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying if the wizard accepted all of our changes. Yeah.
But I also want a new dragon type evolution. There you go.
Yeah.
Being on brand.
I think I'd want a legendary redesign.
Like of these?
Yeah.
Oof.
Just make him look like the Dark Souls wolf with the sword.
Yeah, just make it Sif. Both
you're
of them
so anti,
Sif.
No, you're so
I just
anti
want,
Digimon, but it's okay.
No, it's,
we'll
want
make
them,
Skylanders one for you.
I just want them to look a little bit more interesting, and I think they also look a little too similar. Like I was saying at the beginning, I couldn't tell like their colors all that different whenever I was watching that introductory video. Mm-hmm. Like they just look so similar.
They are.
I want them to have a little bit more definition.
Oh. Wizard, I also want a zombie type. Every Pokemon can be a zombie type, too. That's it.
Whoa.
All of them undead.
Talk about M-rated.
Yep.
There we go. I want Fat Pikachu to come back.
Yeah. Nice.
All right.
Okay, now you can have your... Yeah.
Okay, we got all those
We got
choices.
Fat Pikachu. It's called Dynamax.
Just really, really big Pikachu.
No, that's like a whole series change. Yeah. Like franchise change. I'd be with that.
Joe Gorskowski says, after watching the Pokemon Sword and Shield Direct today, I am very excited to play this November. However, my Switch is the first Nintendo system I have owned since the Game Boy, so the last Pokemon game I played was Blue. Do you think it will be fine to dive right into Shield, or have I missed too much by not playing a Pokemon game for 20 years? I love how you specifically says Shield.
Oh, yeah. Well, decided. That's awesome. Yeah, go for it. Yeah, and then why not? That's like kind of how they're made to be. Like, you don't need to play every single game to get Pokemon. Like, you're just more informed maybe about like how the series has changed and maybe know more Pokemon, but you'll learn them
all. I feel like just like Assassin's Creed, it's okay to skip a couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because they usually replicate all of the new gameplay elements from the previous one. It's very rare that they actually shed some of the good stuff. We'd feel like you miss out on something.
And there are always...
Except for Go. Let's go.
There are always good tutorials, and it's not like you... They teach you things.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
Well, especially the most recent games, I feel like, have gotten more... Like, the last two generations, I feel like, kind of went a little more towards making... It's always been an accessible game, but even making it more so a little bit easy. Like, with the experience share going across your entire party, things like that. So, yeah, I think it's totally safe to jump in.
A few years ago, I went and played... I did a... Let's play Nuzlocke Run with Pokemon Silver with Alana, and that game is so much harder than the newer ones, especially when you're doing a Nuzlocke Run. But these are so much more accessible. Last question from Chris Lomelin. He says, my name is Chris, and I recently started listening since late 2017 and love you guys. Okay, so my question is, there's this wizard, just kidding. There's no wizard. But seriously, do you think the new Pokemon game Sword and Shield will give any inspiration to what might happen in the Detective Pikachu sequel? Do you think we will see any gym stadiums housing some Dynamax Kaiju battles, or perhaps even a Dynamax Detective Pikachu himself, should they find themselves in the Galar region? I'm sure Ryan Reynolds would love that. P.S. Congrats to Brian for his 10 years at IGN.
He couldn't be here today, but we celebrated him.
He's writing lots of E3 scripts. He's super busy.
That was like 3 weeks ago. He just posted that late.
So when Chris said Detective Pikachu, I thought the sequel is like the game.
Yeah.
Which is different from Ryan Reynolds' project.
No, he's talking about the movie, yeah.
Yeah, for the movie, I mean, I'm sure they will pull in things from Sword and Shield, but they won't make it about Sword and Shield.
No.
I think they're going to keep it as... just their own unique cities to keep.
But
well,
I think
it'll be pretty late too, right?
I think they want to reward people who are in the know, right?
Yeah.
By introducing new references and new things like that. So I could imagine a tie-in like that.
I could definitely see them doing it as a movie where it's like, we got to get out of Rhyme City, and it's traveling to another region, no matter whatever that region might be.
I mean,
well, the thing is,
Dynamax.
Didn't they already have Dynamax Pokemon? Do you see those Torterra?
Oh, yeah. It's already ruined. Sorry.
Spoilers.
No, but Rhyme City is a city that was made just for Detective Pikachu,
yes,
the game. Mm. So that's, I think, important for them to have a setting that they can be really flexible with, because obviously they need to kind of work it to be a little bit more creative, I guess, for the the movie audience as opposed to just the Pokemon players, which they did a great job of saying, hey, Pokemon players, we know you, we get you, we're putting all of our love into this and making sure you see that. But at the same time, like, having their own city gives them a lot more freedom than having to work with something that's established.
Yep.
So they will definitely have Easter eggs, but
yeah, probably not. I agree with that. Region. I don't think they'll stick to the basics and then have Easter eggs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess that's all for our Pokemon segment. Miranda, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm sorry I can't stay for the rest. I have
you're leaving us?
A lot to do.
E3.
Yeah, it's almost like it's E3 or something.
I don't know if you guys noticed, but our normal camera isn't even in here. We're using a little
backup.
camera.
Yeah.
Half of IGN is packed up and down in LA.
Yeah, I'm about to go do the same. So.
All right, we'll pack up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me.
Don't eat any
Pokemon. Bye, Miranda. Bye.
don't forget the one with the stab in the head.
Oh, yeah, this is my Pikachu water bottle that my sister got me a very long time ago. I wanted to bring it because it's kind of big. Oh. That's my really quick thing. Sorry.
Very nice.
You're drinking Pokemon brain.
I don't drink from it.
it's just for show.
What else we got?
We have some news. Where'd it go? Oh, yeah. Some news. Topic two.
Wow, you're on today.
Oh, gosh. What's happened? Oh, yeah. Okay, so I know we talked about this last week about how the Cadence of Hyrule was possibly coming on the day of our show, but that didn't happen.
Nope.
So for reals this time, it's coming in June. This is official.
Yeah.
Officially announced, coming in June.
We actually know now.
Yep.
We just don't know when.
I like how we're all quietly shifting to the right.
We have to fill
the gap that Miranda left. So if you hear shuffling, that's it.
The Japanese trailer showed new gameplay and the June window.
Yeah.
And Tom and I are the only people who love it.
I'm into it, yeah.
Yeah. Brian is not into it.
He's skeptical.
because he wants a Zelda game and not a bounce bounce
Crypt
dance
of
music
the Necro Dance.
Yeah.
Even though he likes music.
Yeah.
I don't know. Play it.
I'm into it. I want to play Crypt it with a dance good. Pad, like I said last time.
Yep. My theory is that this game is out now at E3.
Yeah.
I think that they're not giving a date and is just them going to be, they're going to show a new trailer during their E3 showcase and then be like, it's available now.
Yeah.
Literally there have been leaks every few days or fake leaks or whatever every few days since it didn't come out on the May 30th where somebody was like, oh, it might come out on the 2nd. Oh, it might come out on June 20th. I think they're just going to release it at E3.
Nice.
Yep. And also we got June's Nintendo Switch Online games have been revealed.
Meh.
Yeah. Meh? That's how you feel. Yeah. It's Double Dragon 2 The Revenge. Volleyball. Just volleyball. There's no subtitles.
Simpler times.
Yeah.
No bueno.
And City Connection.
Also not good.
I don't know anything about these games.
I think you can skip this month.
Okay.
Double Dragon, it's always interesting to replay those games and dive back in to see what was hot in the NES days. But these weren't hot.
What is City Connection? Because that game just sounds weird to me.
It's boring.
Okay.
That's don't waste time.
Is volleyball actually about volleyball?
It is actually about volleyball. No, they just it's like we're getting kind of to the B tier. I'm hoping this means that we'll get some cool announcements in the future with some of the big franchises and hopefully Super NES games. But you know, not every month is going to hit, and I feel like this one is going to be a down one. This one is a down one.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe at E3 we'll learn Super Nintendo games come into Nintendo Online.
And last month we got Punch Out and Lost Levels.
Yeah.
And it was a good month.
So we had a good month, and we got Tetris 99 before that, if you recall that. So, you know.
Just
it is what it is. I saw a lot of negative feedback from Nintendo fans, including, you know, our fans of NVC, which is understandable.
Yep. We're also getting Ghostbusters, the video game remastered, to Switch this year.
That's a better game than you think it is.
The Ghostbusters game?
Yeah.
I never played it. Yeah. I missed it entirely.
It's a good time to catch up with it, I think, with the Switch release. When I was a kid, I played Ghostbusters on the Commodore 64, and we were obsessed with that game just because how it replicated the music, and it was a complicated game, but it really kind of felt like the movie. And you know, I feel like this game tried to get at that in a bigger scope. You know, it's fun to catch Slimers and all that.
And this was the one that was the story-wise, it was set after Ghostbusters 2, and it was actually voiced by the actors. So it was kind of surprisingly faithful.
Canon.
yeah, it was canon.
I think it came out at a time where it just kind of got overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not a 10 out of 10 game, but it's good. It's worth your time. I'm curious to see if the Switch version turned out all right.
And Persona Q2 for the 3DS is finally out,
but
we have to ask the question.
Yeah. What is it?
I know we've talked about this before.
Did you just pull it up on your 3DS?
Got it. Where's the speaker? There.
Yeah, you can hear it.
Oh God, I love Persona music.
Nice. Yeah.
What's the question, Casey?
The question is the 3DS now officially actually dead? I know we've asked this question before.
No.
No.
Oh, that's
there will always be a Kirby game at end of the life.
That's the, like, death knell. That's the soul leaving the body of a Nintendo system.
That's right. No, they're usually some stragglers. There's some, you know, some smaller projects, sometimes DLC, downloadable games that come towards the end of the DS life cycle. And I think we'll see a couple more.
And we are getting the King of Cards Shovel Knight DLC.
That's right.
Coming up. But this is the last, as far as we understand, I know at the Persona Q2 is the final upcoming release game on Nintendo's website for the 3DS. And there's just, you go to their site and you click 3DS coming soon or coming out next, and there's literally nothing.
There'll be something small.
You think?
Yeah.
But so
there's too many of these suckers out there.
Do you not consider a Japanese translation of a game arriving on 3DS in the US 6 months late a straggler? Is that not already the straggler?
Yeah, that is already here. let's call it the wind down.
Okay.
But you know, every time we said a console was dead, there was like one more game coming out.
I guess.
It will happen. We'll be back here and we'll tell you what that game is.
I was just trying to look up the name of this 3DS game that I really loved, and I can't remember the name of the life of me, and I can't find it.
Okay.
Oh. Man.
Good job, Casey.
Oh, it's Summon Knight.
Summon Knight?
Yeah, Summon Knight. That was what it's called. It just came to me.
Oh my!
So what about Summon Knight?
Twin Age. Summon Knight Twin Age. I was just thinking of 3DS games that I really liked, and I couldn't remember the name of this one. Okay. So, yeah. My 3DS, it's just my regular DS. It's not even a 3DS game. But, you know, fond DS game.
Well, that's the funny part about this is that because everything from the DS, we talked about this last week, I think, because everything from the DS runs on the 3DS, it is also the death of, I mean, not death, as Paris pointed out, but like it is the end of that era too, where now when... whenever this system fully goes away, your DS games are gone also.
So
you can keep it.
And by the way, this is what's going to happen. The DSs are going to get discounted, and you'll be able to pick up some for cheap. And then you might not do that, and then you'll be angry in 10 years when they're all priced $300 and you wanted one. That's what happened with GBAs, especially with the Game Boy Micro.
And the Game Boy Advance Special with the backlit screen.
Yep. So still regret if you want one just as a collectible, remember it's an amazing lineup of games that are infinitely replayable, and they're on cartridge, so they can never break. Mm-hmm. Unlike now when we're moving into the digital age, and your entire collection may be gone someday. Yep. So heed my advice. If you see a beautiful Metroid or Zelda 3DS or 2DS out there.
Yeah.
In a couple of weeks, it'll be cheap.
So what was everyone's favorite 3DS game?
Oh, you can't.
Please let us know in the comments below.
Well, that's the thing is like.
Let me look at my screen, my home screen.
Oh, you cheater.
Yeah. Oh. I got it right here.
Oh, you have all of them.
Yeah, I have all the games.
All of the games.
I mean, look, Link Between Worlds was really, really good.
Yeah. Link Between Worlds was really good.
I was going to say maybe Link Between Worlds, maybe even Sun or Moon, one of the Pokemon ones.
Ooh.
Rhythm Megamix was really good, too. Rhythm Heaven Megamix, if you guys played that one.
I loved, you're never going to guess, Monster Hunter Stories.
Oh, really? I thought Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate would be the one.
Yeah, that one, too. And... man, yeah.
Smash was on there.
Smash wasn't good on the 3DS.
One gazillion Picross games on the 3DS, too.
Smash Bros. That's as a controller for the Wii U version of Smash Bros. That was my favorite
Majora's
3DS
Mask.
No! Tom!
It's got to be Zelda for me.
Link Between Worlds?
Link Between Worlds.
Link Between Worlds is such a good game. Yeah. It's such a good game. It was so unexpectedly good.
It's like a double dip on Link to the Past.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Link to the Past is one of my favorite Zelda games. So it's
fantastic.
It was super cool to see how much it was similar and different at the same time.
But we should do once the last 3DS game is out,
so we'll have
do
another
the
segment
definitive
on it.
List. Yeah. We'll revisit it and we'll pick up.
We'll give
a proper
section reminiscing about the 3DS.
We'll we'll let you
Mario is good too.
You call whatever that final one is.
I'll tell you when Conker's Bad Fur Day 3 is out.
They're just gonna skip 2? Did they make it 2?
Well, it's the HD version.
So moving on. Unfortunately, I'm sorry, 3DS. But hey, Persona Q2, New Cinema Labyrinth, as we just said, is out. Came out on June 4th.
Huh.
You guys got to play?
I played it.
I have not yet.
Okay.
If you've played Persona 5, right?
Only 5.
So both Tom and I joined the Persona franchise with 5, mm-hmm. mostly because Andrew Goldfarb always bugged us about it.
Yeah, which and rightfully so.
I don't even know if he gave me a code.
He gave me a code. I loved it.
I started playing it and I was amazed that I had ignored this franchise for so long because it's so damn good.
Mm-hmm.
This game is different. It is an RPG, but it's not like Persona, this kind of big, sprawling, story-based adventure. This one is more like Etrian Odyssey, and that's another franchise made by Atlus, where the core gameplay conceit is about mapping labyrinths. And the Q in the title, by the way, it's based on the Japanese word meikyu, which means labyrinth. And that's why you'll see a bunch of labyrinth games with a Q in the title. And you're basically with a touchscreen, you're mapping the labyrinth as you explore it, and you place things, and you color in the walls with a stylus. And then there are battles, just similar to the ones in Persona, a little harder, actually.
Mm.
And then there'll be 30 minutes of talking.
Oh. And sounds like this, Persona.
Yeah.
It's kind of a silly, silly plot about, being sucked into movies and, meeting these crazy personas out there and fighting them. But it's a really good game. As you said, it arrived late and it's in English, but all of the voice is in Japanese, which isn't a bad thing. Very authentic. There's a lot of it. Great character voices. And the game combines your favorite characters from 3, 4, and 5. So
Yeah, I know Andrew used to say that Persona Q, the first one, mm-hmm. was just one of his favorite games of all time, I think.
Yeah.
He really loved that one. I haven't heard if he's played this one yet.
Yeah.
No, he bought the collector's edition. For sure. I know he's played it.
He's beaten it already.
Yeah, like 6 times in Japanese, I'm sure.
But you have to love, you know, text-driven RPGs, like very Japanese anime-like storylines. Mm-hmm. You have to love that. The graphics are good for the 3DS. There's nothing mind-blowing about it, but Persona has an awesome soundtrack, and it's the same here. And the characters are really fun.
I've been told to go back and play P4 Golden, and mm-hmm. so I kind of want to try to do that before I play this one, but that might be a long time.
Yeah.
It's
2 years later.
I feel like we're counting the days until some sort of Switch Persona game is announced.
Don't give people that hope.
We do. Isn't that new Persona game coming out on Switch?
Which one? Oh,
but that's not a mainline.
The Shibuya, not Shibuya Scramble. The
Persona Scramble.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not
P5 Scramble.
I want a mainline one.
Yeah.
I want either 6 or 5.
Seriously, Per, don't give people that hope. It's gonna tear them apart.
We've already thrown it in the trash. No more hope. Anyway, no more
scab.
Hope.
If you have a 3DS, you don't have a Switch. It's a good time to play this because it is not quite the last game.
No. Also out this week is PixArk.
Yeah,
May 31st. What is this?
This was the Kitty Minecraft mixed version of Ark Survival Evolved.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I'm dead serious. It's already been out on Steam for a bit. It was made with Studio Wildcard, the developer of Ark Survival Evolved, but by an outside studio. And it's essentially Minecraft blocks, Minecraft art style, but dinosaurs, survival. It's Minecraft mixed with Ark.
Yeah.
And I've heard not terrible things about it if you're into those types of games, you know?
Not terrible things, I've heard, Tom Marks.
No, well, I just say that meaning that I'm not a fan of Ark Survival Evolved because it's not my type of game. I don't like those long capture times. I don't like the punching trees loop very much in any game, not just that one. But I know Ark is a very, very well-made game. This feels basically like, hey, let's translate this into a family-friendly mm-hmm. package. And that might appeal to you because I love Minecraft and, you know, it could be a cool little survival game. There's not a lot like this on mm-hmm. Switch right now, too. So mm-hmm.
$40, so full price release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, that sounds... I'm going to go look up a trailer after this because that sounds really interesting.
I think they also did some stuff that is very different than Ark. I might be getting this mixed up, but I think there's a little bit more fantasy element in this, if I remember correctly.
Rather than sci-fi?
Well, yeah, but some of that is still...
Ark is a dinosaur simulation.
Ark is dinosaurs that slowly, as you get through the tech tree, turns into laser guns mm-hmm. and sci-fi armor and robot suits.
See, that's realistic.
Yeah. I think that, if I remember correctly, this is like, has like Chinese serpent dragons and genies and other things like that in it. And is a little bit more fantastical. And I will look that up on my phone to confirm and only correct myself if I'm wrong.
Casey just added it to her list.
Hey, I did not.
Okay.
Time Spinner is also a game that is coming out this week.
Yeah. Oh, I put this one on because I love this game.
Oh, yeah.
Time Spinner came out on PC a while ago, too, as a lot of Switch games do. It's a Metroidvania style game. I know, too many. It's side scrolling pixel art, but it's really cool. It's just a very good one. It doesn't do anything like overly special. It's mm-hmm. got these kind of like time freezing mechanics where you can solve certain puzzles by like stopping the clock, which will freeze all the enemies, and then you can use enemies as platforms to get up to higher ledges, things like that. I think they described it when it first came out as a Chronovania.
Oh, wow.
So it's like Chrono Trigger inspired Metroidvania, pretty much. Oh, my phone is playing a video. I apologize. That's the vibe. And I've played not all of it, but a fair amount. And I really, really enjoyed what I played.
Okay. Give me a pre-rating out of 10.
I can't do that. I haven't played enough of it. That.
Then I'm not going to look at it, Tom.
All right, fair.
What about Perchang?
Perchang?
Perchang.
Perchang, I played a bunch of. It's a cute... No, it's not cute. It's a cool little puzzle game where you're kind of controlling contraptions to get marbles to a goal. And so I'm saying it's not cute because everything looks very scientific. It almost looks like a laboratory table. So you've got these contraptions with like two fans and you can control them both independently.
Like physics puzzles.
Yeah. Kinda. And so marbles will roll down and then you have to press a button to spin up a fan to blow the marbles into a gold. So it's like that. And then they get more and more complicated. In the beginning, it's pretty easy to get a gold medal on stuff. Then it gets more and more difficult because you might miss with some marbles and or take too long and you get silver and bronze and so forth. I played a bunch of levels. I wish the shoulder buttons on the Switch were analog because that's the one thing, like when you're controlling seesaws and fans, it would feel much better if you had more nuanced control over it.
Yeah.
So here it's more like tapping. You know, you got to tap it in order to flip something.
Hmm.
You play any of it yet?
I played a little bit. I thought it was very well presented and kind of a little too simplistic for my tastes.
It gets more complicated as the contraptions evolve.
I guess maybe I'll stick with it a little longer then.
Yeah, but the art style is very austere.
Yeah.
It's very, I mean, it's like technical, like lab setting, right? But it's well drawn and clean, but it doesn't have a lot of character to it.
Yeah. Well, I like that they could have done a lot with it too, and I just like the idea of these sort of almost Rube Goldberg-esque machines too. It's just very funny.
Yeah.
So I know you guys are playing, you were playing Persona Q2 already.
I was.
What else is everyone playing?
Well, I was playing Percheng. It's $10 by the way, so not a pricey one. You guys talked so much about that damn Metroid cat last time.
Yeah, Gato Roboto.
I got that one.
Really wanted to talk about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that's a really good Metroidvania.
It's really fun.
Yeah, and I when you guys talked about it, I wasn't the dynamic of separating the cat from like the robot suit. It's just really cool. Like you basically have this little drone that can get into small areas and explore, or you can be like this power armor and kick ass, and it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it was in color though. I know everybody says it's a black and white game on purpose, it goes for that design. Makes it a little difficult to spot the enemy sometimes. It all blends
in. It does.
In.
Yeah. It really does. Yeah. And they got different palettes, but again, that doesn't solve the problem of only two shades. This was what I was playing too, actually. Mm-hmm. I don't worry, I'm gonna say this, everyone's gonna freak out. I didn't play much Xenoblade over the last week. I know, but I'm going to keep playing it. Don't worry. I just got, I wanted to play Gato Roboto because I knew it was short. And then at home, I got absolutely obsessed with Outer Wilds, which is a fantastic game that's not on Switch and not scheduled to come on Switch, unfortunately. But I did play Gato Roboto 2 and I ended up beating it because it only took me like a little over 3 hours to beat. It's a pretty short game and it's not as sprawling as Metroidvania would imply. I felt like it was actually fairly linear in terms of you're just going to these different areas and then that gets you an ability that just unlocks the next area and you just go to that area next. There's not really any too much backtracking at all.
So more like Cave Story or something.
Yeah,
right?
a little bit more like that. Mm-hmm. And I think they call it a Metroidvania because they wanted to call it a Meowtroidvania, right? That's what the marketing material is. Uh-huh. And that's just too good to pass up. So I do not blame them. I think it's very cute, pretty short, pretty straightforward, but just really, really tight and fun Metroid-esque game.
Yeah, it's good. And then multiplayer, we've just been playing Crystal Crisis at home.
Oh, yeah.
You know, once again, flip the game to 2D mode and you got a really, really good puzzle fighter versus game with four players. So everybody's hating each other right now playing that at home.
It's good to hear.
Yeah.
So the day before we recorded this, they dropped a new Monster Hunter World Iceborne trailer.
Mm.
And in the Iceborne trailer, they showed Tigrex in Monster Hunter World finally. And Tigrex is an old monster from Monster Hunter Freedom 2 originally. But that monster is also in Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate. So I fired up my Switch to play that game. And I haven't played it in months because I've been playing World primarily.
Mm-hmm.
And I fought some Tigrexes. And man, that game is so much harder than World and Dauntless.
Yeah.
Yeah, like significantly.
Oh, man.
It's so much more difficult to time your dodges. I got really good at dodging through Tigrex's roar because Tigrex is one of the only monsters whose roar can actually cause harm to you.
Hmm.
Which
like
is
it can deal damage?
It deals damage and causes knockback. It doesn't just stun you.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. So Tigrex is hardcore, and I'm incredibly excited to fight that monster in Iceborne. So I just That's wanted really cool. to kind of touch up on my Tyrex knowledge, because I remember that being one of the most difficult monsters for me in Monster Hunter Freedom 2.
So this happens to me too. I'll see like news for something upcoming and I'll go, oh, I got to replay this thing that I love. I was so tempted to go back. Actually, Baldur's Gate Collection got announced for Nintendo Switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was so tempted to just go back to 2 and replay it, but I couldn't find it.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Baldur's, what is it? It's Baldur's Gate 1, 2, Neverwinter Nights.
Yep.
One
more. All of the D&D.
There's two more things I can't remember now that are also coming to Switch. Planescape Torment?
That's what it is.
And then there's one more, and I can't remember what that is. All enhanced editions, which is nuts.
And when is that coming out?
Later this year. Okay. I don't remember exactly.
And if you haven't played Baldur's Gate, think Diablo.
Yeah.
You know, like really cool looking D&D based games.
Diablo, but less. What's the word?
Less loot cleanery.
You're not. Yeah, no, you're not just not, like constantly getting loot and sweeping away weak guys. It's a little bit more tactical.
Monsters don't have pockets in that game.
Yeah,
like Diablo, like everybody carries their horde with them. But really, like kind of really same style presentation and collaboration too.
Didn't you say that? Did you fight the other one that was teased in that Monster Hunter trailer?
Glavinus.
Glavinus. Yeah.
I intend to go back and fight him, but so also in the press release they sent out yesterday, they said that Tigrex is going to be fightable at E3.
Ooh.
So I want to be ready for that.
So you prepped for
E3. I'm going to prep because I haven't fought Tigrex in 6 months, which is quite a long time.
That's not very long.
You're going to get into that demo and they're going to be just like blown away.
No, I'm not that good. I think I'm decent enough for someone to watch my gameplay and be like, you know what? She doesn't suck. she knows what she's doing.
It was Icewind Dale you forgot.
Icewind Dale, yes. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, I've also been playing Dauntless a bunch and I hope it's supposed to come out on Switch this year. So I hope I'm able to talk about that in more detail soon because I don't want to do that yet because it's not on Switch yet.
Yeah.
So, hey, guys, you know what time it is? Question block part 2, because we already did Pokemon question block, but question block not Pokemon related.
I remember somebody talking about a game like that a while
back. But it is definitely a game.
Definitely not.
It could not be a game. I don't think it is a game. I think, you know, the more I've been reminiscing and really putting a lot of thought into this, question block isn't a game.
Thank you.
I feel betrayed.
Thank you.
Why is it a game? Question block. Why is question block a game? Go.
I don't know. I feel like I've been put on the spot, which is itself. Yeah. And therefore, by you putting me on the spot,
you can write it down for next time and bring it with you.
Okay. I'll write a novel.
As a goal.
We'll prepare our essays.
I'll write an 800-word article about why question block is a game.
All right, let's play this.
All right. From Neil Storin, he says, have you ever spent a really long time on a game getting as many collectibles as possible and then stop playing just before the final boss? I can't be the only person who does this. The first time I did this was on Ocarina of Time, collecting all the Skulltulas, Mass, etc., and then quit just before the final fight with Ganondorf. Please tell me I'm not the only one. I'm not sure why I do this. Maybe I enjoy the game so much I don't want it to end. With all the talk about gaming disorders, maybe we can classify this one as ludophobia.
Mm-hmm.
Love NPC. Thanks for the great podcast. Thanks. Neil from the UK. P.S. Please get a jingle for the question block.
Nice. So I've done that where I haven't fought the final boss because I'm tracking down stupid stuff. I've done that in Assassin's Creed Black Flag. I'm doing that in Odyssey right now. I feel like I did that in Breath of the Wild too, where I could clearly go and beat up Ganondorf, but I'm like, nope, I'm not ready because I need a couple more things. And but I don't walk away. If you're saying that you walked away and didn't finish it, you definitely have ludophobia.
I do that. I do this all the time.
What
do you?
Yes, I do. I have a problem. I do this all the time where I can see the finish line and then like,
turn around. I'm staying.
I did this with Ocarina of Time, not only just with the Water Temple because I couldn't beat it, but I got to the very end and then just stopped.
Really?
And, yeah.
So you didn't see like the
No,
freaking...
I went back like months or years later and I did that with Majora's Mask. I got the very end, got all the masks, didn't go to the moon.
That's the coolest when you get
I did it with Breath
masks.
Of the Wild. I'm naming a lot of Zelda games.
Okay.
Man.
There's a theme here.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's the thing. I just don't want them to end. I enjoyed it so much and I just
So maybe you want endless games.
No. Let's see, what are the
Zelda
games
as
I do
a
this
service.
For?
There, Zelda as a service.
What are they
This week we released one more heart container. for $4.
Oh, no. I don't want that.
You just gave me this glimpse of a terrible dystopia.
Subscribe for this new house.
I did, oh, this with, no. I did it with X and Y, too. I got to the Elite Four, and then I just didn't even try. Okay. I don't know. See, that's, what's wrong with me?
I think there's a doctor for that somewhere.
That's not what I do. I usually get either... I usually give up halfway through a game or beat it, right? Mm-hmm. I never get far into a game and then just give up or walk away.
It's not that I even gave up. I just... Right. I have this problem with my work ethic and just things in daily life. If I know I can do it and I have figured out how to do it, I just lose motivation to do
it. It's no longer a challenge anymore. Yeah. It's a task.
That's different, obviously. Like, I have that with what you're describing with certain games. Like, sometimes I don't make it through an entire Far Cry, Days Gone, or Mad Max. Like, games where after a while you're like, wait, it is the same thing, just repeated in different areas. I tend to not finish the game, but I wouldn't then collect everything in the world. Whereas, like, with Assassin's Creed games, the good ones, I kind of stick around and I try to. I just want to clear all the quests, and you can't anymore, right? New ones pop up now. They're randomized ones. I don't think... I think you and... what's his name? Neil? You're pretty much the only two.
I get it.
I think that's why I like Monster Hunter so much, because I never actually know if I will be able to beat it. Because they're always so difficult.
There you go.
Yeah. And also, it feels like, at least with World, that game never ends, right? Like, there's always one more thing to do and one more thing to do and one more thing to do.
There's always a new weapon to master, a new armor set to make.
Yeah.
A new jewel to farm, which takes forever. You know. But hey, that's about all the time we have for this week's MVC. Next week, we will be having a special E3 episode. We will be filming in LA at the show, and we will also be doing pre and post shows right before and right after Nintendo's Direct. So please tune into IGN.com to watch us in LA.
Be really early for the Nintendo press conference, because we have a pre-show, and before that we have a special little something.
Yeah, with the
nothing exclusive.
Crowd.
It'll be fun. Yeah. Watch it.
Just
call
some
it
fun
re-live.
Stuff. We did a couple of things, but it should be really fun. Mm-hmm. Again, you can watch NVC every Thursday at 3 p.m. on your preferred podcasting platform podcast.
That's good.
And on
IGN.com. We should do a platforming podcast.
Oh, nice.
What? Yeah. No. Ooh.
Podcast
you
about
guys can go do that by yourselves.
Called Level 1.1.
So thank you so much for watching. And remember, this is the only place you can
get the thing.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the sleep habit?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you. Find me.
To save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.